السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, today in the few moments that we have, I have selected a topic that most orators do not speak about. Most of the Muslim clerics do not speak about. But it is a very relevant topic. As we all believe that Islam is a complete, comprehensive religion. It does not leave us unguided in any facet of life. So the topic that I am going to discuss today in the short time that I have will be understood by you by the true story that I am going to relate. One of the great scholars of Hind, Maulana Sajjad Nu'mani, Damat Barakatum, he says that he went to a town to deliver a talk. And the Hindu population knew of him. And they admired him, respected him for all the efforts. So they came to visit him. So these were Hindu people, came to visit Maulana Sajjad Nu'mani. And they said to Maulana Sajjad Nu'mani, Ahlan wa sahlan, thank you very much for coming to our town. But we are awaiting the month of eating. And Maulana Sajjad Nu'mani said, what do you mean you are waiting the month of eating? They said, there's a month in which the Muslims eat. He said, a month in which the Muslims eat? They said, there's no month like that. Yes, there is a month in which we fast, but there's not a month in which we eat. So they said that it is the month of Ramadan. He said, Allahu Akbar. He said, the month of Ramadan is the month in which we do not eat. But the way we approach food has made the wider community think that this is the month of eating. What a wrong da'wah that we give to the wider community. And even if we study the practices in our own homes, foods that are never on display for 11 months will be in display or will be on display in this month. This was a month in which we were to educate ourselves about our spiritual and our physical diet. Now, I'd like my noble audience to listen to the verse of the glorious Quran that is being related throughout the entire Muslim world, especially in the month of Ramadan. Allah Almighty says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Now, Allah addresses you and me by the word Amanu. Now if we study the Torah, Allah has addressed Bani Israel by this noble title once. That, O people of faith. So indeed, in the time they were receiving the Torah and practicing the Torah, they were the people of faith. But they've only been addressed once by Amanu in the Torah. We have been addressed 88 times in the Quran by the noble title Amanu, O people of faith. And that's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma used to say that whenever you are reading the Quran, studying the Quran, and you come across the ayat Amanu, be very, very attentive. You should depict and visualize that Allah is speaking to you directly. But without studying this verse academically, I would like to go to the last section. And then I would like to construct my discussion of diet upon that one word. Allah Almighty says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You have been prescribed fasting, so you can become righteous. Now, piety is an inner ability that allows the person to do the right thing. That is taqwa. If we were to define taqwa in a sentence, taqwa is the inner ability that allows the person to do the right thing by his creator. And as we know that if a person needs to do the right thing, he needs knowledge. And there are two types of knowledge. Ilmul adyan and ilmul abdan. So if we were to highlight knowledge, we will highlight it under two banners. One is ilmul adyan, the knowledge of religion. Another terminology for this will be the knowledge of the soul. And the second knowledge is ilmul abdan, the knowledge of the body. So the month of Ramadan comes, so we can change our spiritual habits that are destructive and damaging to our soul, and we can change our habits pertaining to our physical diet that are destructive and damaging to our body. That is taqwa. Let me say that again. It is a very important, very interesting topic that we do not speak about. Itne te pet nikale hote. The Nabi of Allah, flat stomach. Sahaba, very, very lean. Very, very mindful of what they used to eat. And I'm going to make mention of statements that will bamboozle you. Even clerics speaking, overweight. This is not the sunnah. This is not the sunnah. And there are destructive circumstances pertaining to overeating that I will highlight today in the light of the Quran and the Hadith. So taqwa is changing your habits that are destructive to your soul and changing your eating habits that are destructive to your body. Because the body is the commute and the vehicle that carries the soul. And before a passenger sits in the commute, he will have to be satisfied about the health and the condition of the commute. If the body is not healthy, a person cannot exert his soul. That's why this religion, this profound, complete, comprehensive religion, has not left us unguided when it comes to our diet. It has not left us unguided. Remember that. Don't believe for a split moment you can eat whatever you want to eat and you can eat as much as you want to eat. That is not the case. So taqwa is to change your one dimension, to change your eating habits. It is very, very important. And the month of Ramadan comes, so we can change it, not increase it. That what we eat in 24 hours, we eat more than that in 8 hours. In normal days, we may be eating a kilo of food, but in the month of Ramadan, that is increased by 2 kilos. It defeats the purpose of Ramadan. As we all know, in Surah Shu'ara, Allah Almighty says, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ Salim. That when a person experiences the extraction of the soul, the body part that will be presented in the court of Allah Almighty is the heart. And there are two types of hearts, qalbi salim and qalbi saqim, the healthy heart and the sick heart. There's two types of hearts. The Nabi of Allah says, La tumitu al-qulub bi kathrati at-ta'am wash-sharab. فَإِنَّ الْقُلُوبُ تَمُوتُ كَالزُّرُوعِ إِذَا كَثَرَ عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءُ. Not my words, the words of the Nabi of Allah. لَا تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبُ بِكَثَرَةِ الطُّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ. Do not allow, do not cause your heart to die by overeating and overdrinking. Now, this can allude to the physical heart, and this can allude to the spiritual heart as well. Overeating eventually will cause the death of the heart, the physical heart. And overeating will cause death to the spiritual heart as well. That is known as قلب سليم. And then the Nabi of Allah says, فَإِنَّ الْقُلُوبُ تَمُوتُ كَالزُّرُوعُ إِذَا كَفَرَ عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Heart dies as the crops do when they are overwatered. Heart dies as crops do when overwatered. There is a limit of giving water to the crops. If it is overwatered, the crop is going to die. There is a limit of feeding this vessel. If it is overfed, it will have an impact upon the heart, because everything that a person does, takes in, has a direct impact upon the heart. All channels, all paths, all routes lead to the heart. That's why Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the hadith is in Ibn Majah, and it's an amazing hadith, that the son of Adam has not filled a container worse than the stomach. Yeh hadith nahi hame nazar aati. We'll talk about iman, we will talk about salah, and we will talk about da'wah, and we will talk about zakat. Where are these ahadiths? If our appearance is not in conformity with the appearance of the Nabi of Allah, if there is a condition that is different, but if we have contributed to that, and we have let loose, what kind of da'wah are we given? What type of physical impression are we given to the wider community? Is exercise, being mindful of the diet, a share that has been given to the wider community, and Muslims have been excluded from this? Islam is a complete religion. We have to apply it everywhere. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the son of Adam has not filled a vessel worse than the stomach. Not. He has not filled a vessel worse than the stomach. Then the Nabi of Allah says, that the son of Adam only needs a few morsels of food to keep up his strength. And as we say, to keep your back straight. Doing so, a person should consider that one third is for food, one third is for drink, and one third is for breathing. Where is this sunnah of the Nabi of Allah in our life? Many a times on the sufra we say that we have eaten up to here, meaning that I can't breathe from my mouth, now I'm breathing from my nose, from my nostrils. Disregarding other sunnahs, this is disregarding the sunnah as well. Especially in the month of Ramadan. Health is a ni'mat. And we are obliged by the Quran and the hadith to take care of our health. The hadith in Tirmizi, in which Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it has been said, he mounted the pulpit. He mounted the pulpit and he wept, he cried. And then he said to the Sahaba, ask Allah for two things. One for forgiveness, one for health. One for forgiveness, one for health. Because after being granted certainty, and certainty is alluding to iman, a person has not been given anything better than health. Your vehicle, your commute, has to be in prime condition, so you can benefit from the ability of the soul. Aren't we damaging the soul? by not allowing the body to be healthy. Very, very important. I'm going to make mention of one story that Shaykh Tabrasi has made mention in Majma'ul Bayan. It is an amazing story relating to health once again. That in the time of Harun Rashid, he was one of the Muslim kings, there was a Christian doctor that used to be in his court, a prolific personality in his court. So in those days, people used to study the Quran. Even the non-believers used to study the Quran. So he studied the Quran superficially from cover to cover. And then he made a remark. He spoke to one of the Muslim assistants that I have studied your kitab and I can't find any guidance pertaining to health. And then he made this remark that knowledge is confined in ilmul adyan and ilmul abdan. You have to have the knowledge of the soul and the knowledge of the body, but I do not find any trace of medical advice in your noble Quran. So in the court of Harun Rashid, there was a scholar by the name of Ali bin Hussein. He said that, have you studied the Quran from cover to cover? He says, yes, I have studied the Quran from cover to cover. He said the Quran, many sections of the Quran, it captures certain sciences of the world that are so vast in body. And the example that I give, it is like placing the ocean in a vessel. Urdu mein hum kya kehte hain? Samundar ko kooze mein band kar dena. Samundar ko kooze mein band kar dena. The Quran did not even take one complete ayat to speak about health. In half of an ayat, it captured the entire science pertaining to the health of a human being. He said, whoa. He said, which ayat is that? He said, open the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7. And this is the ayat that he recited in the start. Ya bani Adam khudhu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Now this has nothing to do with the human health. The second half, kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Allah Almighty says, eat and drink and do not be extravagant. Innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. Allah does not like those people that are extravagant. He said that this half of the ayat of Surah Araf, verse 31, gives us instructions pertaining to human health. He said, whoa. He said, I read this before, but my mind did not go that way. He said, anyway, has your Nabi given any advice in relation to the human body, in relation to human health? He said, my Nabi has given many advices, but I would like to share one right now. He said, what is that? He said, the Nabi of Allah says, Al-mi'datu baytudda. The stomach is the home of all illnesses. وَالْحِمْيَةُ رَأْسُ كُلِّ دَوَى. And abstinence is the best drug. As they say in English, prevention is the best cure. Abstinence is the best drug. And then the Nabi of Allah concluded this statement by something so profound. وَأَعْطِ كُلَّ بَدَنٍ مَا أَوَّتَّهُ. Give your body what it needs. No more, no less. Don't starve your body. And don't overburden your body. Give what your body wants. He paused for a split moment, this Hakim, this Christian doctor. And he looked at Ali bin Hussein. And he said, Allahu Akbar. He said that your kitab, the Quran, and your Nabi has not left anything for Jalinus in medicine. Your kitab and your Nabi has left nothing for Jalinus in medicine. The Quranic ayat and one narrative from amongst many narratives is inclusive to everything that a person needs to know about human body and how to maintain and sustain the health of the human body. So my noble brothers and sisters and elders and listeners, change your eating habits. It's very, very important. The body has to be healthy. How is a person going to stand up at night and commit to tahajjud if he has overeaten? When the Nabi of Allah is saying it is going to be destructive to the spiritual heart. You can't. You can talk as much as you want. Talking is easy. Mesmerizing people is easy. I can talk as much as I want. I've been speaking for the last 20 years. Talking is easy. But what is my individual life? How much am I eating? How much am I eating from the physical world? And how much am I eating from the spiritual world? Allama Ibn Qayyim says something amazing. I was studying. He said, you will eat from the spiritual world in proportion to how much you do not eat from the physical world. I would like you to capture that. You will eat from the spiritual world in proportion to how much you do not eat from the physical world. If you eat from the physical world, in proportion you will eat less from the spiritual world. It's simple. As a Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, this is the life of our Nabina. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala brings wheat. She makes the dough. She cooks the roti, the khubz, the bread. And she gets one bread for herself. So she's ready to eat it, and suddenly comes to her mind, Mere abbe ka kya hal? Has my father eaten? Has Nabi Akrim Muhammad eaten? So she takes this bread. She takes her share and she goes to her father's house, Nabi Akrim Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she sits in front of the Nabi of Allah, cutting the story short. And Nabi Akrim Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why have you come? She said, I was sitting with my share of bread and I thought of you. That has my father eaten or not? So I would like to share half of my bread with you. So Nabi Akrim Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ahlan wa sahlan. Now when the Nabi of Allah took that half of the bread and he broke one morsel of food and he was to place it in his mouth, he said to Fatima, I swear by the greatness of Allah Almighty, for the last 3 days no morsel of food has gone into my stomach. Kitna khate hain? No morsel of food has gone into my stomach. Allama Shibli Nomani says that if we study the seerat of the Nabi of Allah, the 23 years, from the age of 40 to 63, there are not three consecutive days in the entire seerah of the Nabi of Allah where he had a meal. Three consecutive days. It will be 2 days and then one day it will be a fast. Istirari or ikhtiyari? Now in relation to the diet, there are two things. Eat less, one sunnah, and another sunnah I'm going to make mention of. Eat less and eat slowly. Very important. Two sunnahs. Not only eating less, that's one sunnah. The other sunnah is eating slowly. One hakim came from Yemen to Madinatul Munawwar. He said, there's no doctor in Medina, so most probably I will prosper her. So after a few days he came to Nabi Akrim Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I came here with good intent. I thought that my business will flourish here. No one comes here. No one is sick. What's going on? So Nabi Akrim Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have educated Islam. I have educated my Sahaba. They have taken it on board. And what is the education? They will not eat unless they are severely struck by hunger. They have to feel hungry to eat. Number one. Number two. They will leave the sufra whilst they are still hungry. They will leave the sufra whilst they are still hungry. On a lighter note, my observation, there are two types of people in the world. Nowadays, everyone is body conscious. How I look, you know. So, one group believe in dieting. The second group, they believe in dieting. One is dieting, one is dieting. No. The Nabi of Allah says, eat little, eat slowly, eat in moderation. On another level of being light, and I will conclude on this, and this is a true incident. I won't mention the name. We had invited somebody for dinner, and the person that was invited, he said that I am on a seafood diet, and the restaurant could not provide seafood. So I said, what do you mean? He said, I see the food. Seafood was not seafood, it was seafood and eat. Now, this should not be the diet of a Muslim, my noble brothers and sisters. The month of Ramadan has come once again. We cannot disregard the narratives, the instructions pertaining to our health. On the Day of Judgment, we will be questioned how we abuse this body. We can't just keep putting in and expecting to be healthy. What you put in is what you are. Inshallah, we'll change our habits. Are you truthful in your statement? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.